did this project, I want to recommend, you know. I got like $1,000 a year plant budget, so we figured we'd keep working on it every year. I figured it's about 5-7 year plant.
Depends on how much, depends on how much Phragmites control you end up.
Yeah, I mean, I made progress. I probably make 50, 60. It comes back the first two times very aggressive. It's about the third or fourth time that you cut it down. It starts, you start to win the battle with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can see in those in those photos how it's really stunted back. I mean, it's actually really fun to see because so often cutting frag is not successful. You can see what there is for frag is just really small and struggling, which I like to see.
My members love it because now they can sit on the porch and look at their boats.
Yeah.
At one point, you couldn't sit on the porch in August and see your boat was so high.
Yeah,
it's way better.
Good. Okay, anything else from anybody? You have a motion?
Motion to issue the order of conditions.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Thank you very much. I should have mentioned during the Plum Island discussion, I just sent an email today to CIRA suggesting that they put emergency preparedness on the agenda for Friday, seeing as it looks like Matthew is
coming,
heading that way. The latest model has it getting closer.
Really? I was supposed to hit Florida like tomorrow or something.
Well, the latest thing is supposed to ride up along Florida, skip over the outer part of the Carolinas, and head for Cape Cod.
Really? Really?
Yeah, we're ready to
leave. I just got an email that Boat US is now covering everybody in Massachusetts for all.
Yeah, we'll probably put, like we do a 24-hour haul. We bring in little street rights and like the parking lot up. And getting ready to pull the plug on it. We'll know by Thursday.
Oh, jeez.
So, Reservation Terrace, you want to think out what you might do.
I think in some ways, no, it's not good, but this could be a nice way to see what we're going to be dealing with in terms of whether or not this is this equilibrium that they keep talking about, what we're going to deal with this winter, what we see this weekend. I know.
Always
we're past equilibrium.
I'm with you. I know.
It's an unbalanced equilibrium, which essentially is an equilibrium. Anyhow.
Yep.
See ya.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, next we have enforcement violations, 1782nd Street.
Okay.
I'll be recluse again on this.
Yeah, I guess that would be me. Good evening, I'm Tom Lawrence. So, how would you like to begin?
Well, I guess the issue was whether you have a deck or a patio. And
okay, so I there's two different violations that I'm here to discuss. So I guess we're going to discuss the deck situation. Okay, so you want to learn more about my situation out there, or do you have questions for me?
Why don't you give us a little view and we'll go from there.
Yeah, well, I was completely unaware of any violations that I had done in the construction of that structure. I had been given approval by the previous building commissioner of Newburyport, Gary Calderwood, that I could build that structure without any permits. And the definition of how he communicated that I could do it without a permit is if I built the structure as a freestanding structure that they would refer to as a patio. And if it's not attached to the home, it would be considered a patio. And it would not require building permits, any permits at all. He said it would just be considered a patio. So based on that information that was communicated to me by what I thought was the expert in your report for constructing buildings and other things, I proceeded to build that structure in accordance with the specific instructions that he had detailed out to me. So it's a freestanding structure, supported on all sides. It is physically not attached to the house. I think one of the questions I had to Gary was, are you sure it doesn't require any other permits? And he said, it doesn't require any other permits. I said, what about the Conservation Commission? And he said, no, it doesn't require anything with the Conservation Commission. I said, well, what about distance from the house? And he communicated, he said, it could be 2 feet or 2 inches or a half an inch, doesn't matter, as long as it's not physically attached to the structure, to the house. So based on that information, I moved forward. I built the structure. I probably now, almost 4 years ago. Previously, I mean, it was built, so I constructed it over an existing, like, cement patio that actually was originally around, like, the back house, the side of the house, to the front of the house. So underneath is just like a cement patio pad thing. So when I built the structure, I did not impact any of the dunes or the grasses because it was over a cement patio. Additionally, years ago, the house did have a deck off the back of it, pretty much in a similar configuration as to the, what for our purposes tonight, I'll refer to it as a deck. Pretty much the same configuration of what I have there now. So that's kind of my story. There is no intent on my behalf or my part to bypass or circumvent any rules or regulations or permitting processes or anything like that. I just did what I was instructed, and additionally, because there were some concerns from some abutters that there could be some violations, the building commissioner made several trips out to the property, I think as many as three, and all three times he said that it was in conformance to the regulations that he had referred to give me permission to construct the patio or the deck. So here I am, kind of caught in the middle of a situation that I guess I need to resolve based on the information I provide to you and your recommendations on how we can proceed forward. So I'd be happy to answer any other questions in regards to that situation out there.
I was wondering, you said that at one point there were some questions raised by some abutters, and so Gary came out again and to check. What was the nature of those complaints?
That I did not get the proper permits to build the deck. So Gary tried to address those concerns, saying that it met with his approval. In some conversations with Julia kind of, you know, communicated to me that the building permit thing is kind of like a separate issue because the Conservation Commission has their own set of rules and guidelines that need to be followed. So I'm totally in agreement with that process, but I was not aware of that process when I took on this undertaking. So again, here I'm kind of caught in the middle of a situation where if I would not have built that structure if that communication was not given to me by the building commissioner of Newburyport. So I'd like to try to see how we can resolve it in a equitable and fair manner, but I don't know what my options are. And so I guess I'm here to try to understand my options, and that's where I'm looking to you folks to provide some input.
Now, is the deck that you built, is that, you said there was a concrete patio
slab
underneath it. The exact same dimensions as?
Yep.
Oh, okay. So everything underneath that deck now is cement?
It's a cement, like a poor patio type of thing.
Okay. And you said the deck is not attached to the house?
Correct. It is a free, it's supported all the way around on pilings, or I should say on footings. Every part of the deck is not physically attached to the house. Gary Calderwood crawled underneath, looked to make sure there weren't any, you know, joists or nails or screws going from any of the deck framing to the house. So there's nothing that is attached to the house as far as the framing structure of that deck.
How far above grade is that deck?
I don't know.
But you said Gary could crawl underneath it?
Yes. Yeah, it's, I think one side's probably has higher clearance than the other side. But yeah, you can crawl underneath there and look around and that sort of thing.
So it's not attached to the house. Do you go from the house to the deck and vice versa?
Correct.
So you're not stepping.
Yeah, so like again, like, and that was my question to Gary, was like, well, does it have to be a certain distance from the house to be considered a patio? And he said no. He says it could be 2 feet or it could be an eighth of an inch, as long as it's not.
But either way, access it from the house.
Oh yeah, you can walk in and out. Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
It gets used in conjunction.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean,
because I've only seen pictures and it looked like it was attached. But
it's not. It's not. You can crawl underneath.
Well, hey, can I ask a question?
Hold on.
Okay.
Can I just make a point? For our concern, it doesn't matter whether it's attached to the house
sure.
or not. So it's kind
Thank
of a
you.
Moot point, so I'd
Thank
rather
you.
Not spend any more time
yeah.
on that.
Thank you.
It is a deck, and it needs a permit to be constructed, a permit from the Conservation Commission.
Okay.
And as I see it, you have two options, either to remove it or file a notice of intent post facto to try and get you the associated permits now.
Uh-huh.
And I don't see another option.
Okay, well, that's what I wanted to find out, specifically to the guidelines and the regulations of the Conservation Commission, what my options are.
What's the size of the deck? Approximately?
12 by 16.
12 by 18.
Is this open for public comment?
No,
or?
Not yet.
My apologies.
And if, in applying for a permit for the deck, whether you remove it and start over and apply for a permit for the deck or apply for one after the fact, you'll have to present a plan that will show the exact specifications.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Elevations
yeah, I mean,
that and
would
all
be
that.
Part of the post facto
and it won't
permitting
make a difference
process.
If it's attached to the house or not.
Right.
If you want it attached to the house, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's
right.
Not our...
That's
sure.
Not our
yeah. Right. No, I understand.
You built this deck above the cement pad, and then you said something about that there used to be a deck, and what was that that you... Is there a deck as well as another deck as well as this?
Well, no, there used to be a deck where that deck is.
Oh, okay. So,
but it was previous.
Yeah.
It had, I don't know, the previous owners either took it off or it fell apart.
Right.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
not quite
and
sure.
So
but I have drawings
right.
that shows
right.
the dimensions
yeah.
of
but,
that previous
yeah.
deck on the back of the house.
Right. But that deck was also above that concrete pad.
Correct.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
same spot.
Okay.
Same
okay.
exact spot.
One thing that puzzled us a little bit from the record, there was a permit application some years before you built the deck.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was withdrawn. Was mm-hmm. that you or was that a prior owner?
No, that was me.
Okay.
Yeah, and so what had happened back then is that I, you know, always wanted to rebuild the deck that was previously there, and so I started to investigate the process of doing that, and then at the time it just became not financially feasible for me to continue down that path, so I just stopped that process. Mm-hmm. And then several years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, ended up having a conversation. I don't even think it was relating to a deck. It was a conversation perhaps relating to something else, but that topic came up. And the topic that you could build a structure self-supporting, and it would be considered a patio, and you would not require a permit. And I was very surprised to hear that. And so I'm like, really? I said, well, then maybe that's something I should consider. And so what happened is, so Gary was making these recommendations and providing me with this information prior to, just from his memory or whatever. And then after subsequent inspections, he actually had to resort to an actual building code that backed up what he was talking about. But again, I know we don't want this to be a building permit, building code conversation. So anyways, that's, to answer your question, Doug, so I just did not follow through with that original permit because it wasn't feasible at the time, financially.
Few years before you actually built the deck, I think it was.
It was many years before.
Pretty good gap of
years. Yeah, it was like 7 years.
Yeah.
Probably like,
5 years.
Yeah.
It's 2007. Did it get to the hearing process? Did you come before the board?
I don't think so.
2007, or was it withdrawn before?
Yeah, I don't think I don't think I just never followed through with the process.
Mm-hmm.
I just decided.
Was that Mary Casey was the conservation administrator at the time?
You know, I don't know because I don't think it ever went.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I've got the file right here. Actually, we can look and see. But I believe that what happened was it doesn't. There isn't a record of actually of a hearing taking place. The hearing was supposed to take place on, on June 19th at 7 p.m. in 2007, and we have a note. Well, I don't know what happened. We have a note from Mr. Lawrence on August 7th. 2007, saying I would like to formally withdraw my request for determination of applicability for the Conservation Committee meeting. I'll pursue this matter sometime in the future. So I don't know whether they had the hearing in June or not, but the request to withdraw came in August. So, and there's no minutes from any meeting.
Might have been continued a few times.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it could be.
It was either the meetings were held and continued.
You know, we got there at the meeting and whoever was our agent said that, you know, Tom had called and said, you know, he's not going to be
could have
there.
Could just put it off and put it
and
off.
Then, and then, you know, the official withdrawal is just good for tidying everything up.
Yeah.
And that
right.
So Dan, what is the process to move forward with that post facto permitting process that you referred to?
Yeah, you can. Julie can help you out with that, but you'll need to complete a notice of intent and fill out that application, which will require a detailed description of the project, and how it relates to the resource areas that may be impacted. By the project, and then we'll have a hearing to discuss the notice of intent and, we'll go from there.
Okay. I've worked with Bill DC before in the past, and I heard his name come up. Is he still
retired. He's retired, but he occasionally will do some work for somebody that he's, worked with in the past.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I was in communications with Mike Seacamp as a potential person to look at this.
Yeah, he's appeared before us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
we'd like to get that fairly soon.
Well, I'll get together with Julie, I guess, and she'll provide me with the instructions on how to get that completed. So I've received, you know, a preliminary proposal from the CCAMP group. So based on the information from tonight's meeting, I'll forward that to them. And then I can come back with like a plan as to time frame.
Yeah, if you're going to work with Mike Seacamp, I mean, he knows the drill in terms of filling out an application. So.
Okay.
You know, you're going to have to show, and this is hard because this happened so long ago, but you're going to have to show what the existing conditions were on that site at the time that it was constructed. So I know you say there's a cement pad there underneath. You're going to have to, you know, show pretty clear documentation that that was there then. I don't know that it doesn't look to me like it takes up the entire space under the existing deck right now. So maybe under there to some extent. I did notice some cement, but I'm not sure that that's all that's under there.
Right.
So just be aware that in order to, you're going to really be acting as though this is an application for a project that's about to take place, not took place. So we're going to want all that same information that someone would have to provide starting now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, including the resource areas. And I know the floodplain has changed in this particular, or may have changed. So just be sure to check that kind of thing with regard to elevations and all that.
Right, and then Mike will be familiar with all that.
Oh, he will. He'll be able to get all of that, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, the other issue was the beach grass that you and your co-owner, some of it may or may not have been removed. I think, if I'm not mistaken, she has agreed to revegetate some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, yeah, in regards to the that particular violation, I can honestly and truthfully tell you that I've never touched a blade of grass, dune grass, beach grass from out in front of my cottage or anywhere on my property. You know, and I can assure you, I've owned the place since 2003, that there's never been any dune grass or beach grass out in front of my property. I've got, one thing I've done over the years is taken hundreds and hundreds of pictures of the beachfront out in front of my cottage that shows, you know, of course, people enjoying the beach, whatever, but there's never been any beach grass in front of my cottage. The reason for that, I have absolutely no idea. I'm not a conservation expert, but I would assume, based on some other aerial photographs of the area, that is a result of heavy usage and traffic on that part of the beach in front of my house, because my house has been heavily occupied since 2007. It's a vacation rental property that I rent out for seasonal summer rentals, spring rentals, fall rentals. I usually have large groups of people there. They all congregate out on the beach in front of my property. The surrounding neighbors, to my facing the beach to my right, a few houses behind me, they all use that as the access way to the beach. Many of them use that part of the beach directly in front of my house. So all I can tell you is that based on the foot traffic, you know, over the years, since 2003, for the past 13 years, I will admit that I've been out there, and after the winter storms and debris that washes up on the beach, that I have maintained that beach as far as picking up the trash, getting rid of all the driftwood, getting rid of all the lumber that floats up, all that dead grass that flips out of the marshes due to, you know, ice flows or whatever. So I've raked that beach, but I've never pulled out dune grass or beach grass in front of my house or anywhere else on that beach. I love that beach. I try to keep it as clean and as nice as possible so that our neighbors can enjoy it. And unfortunately, many people who park over at Captain's Ladies Fishing Party Boats, because they park there to use the beach, they see a nice little pristine part of the beach, which is typically not very crowded. They come down and they use the beach as well. I think a good example of the beach traffic, if you look at the beach in front of George Charo's property, that is heavily used by beach goers in the summertime. There's not a stitch of beach grass on that beach as well. I think if you look at aerial photographs, even the pathways around my house that are not heavily traveled are worn down without dune grass. So the area directly in front of my house, which is heavily used by all these other houses in the neighborhood, so there wasn't any grass there. There's nothing that I took out that would have to be revegetated, because there was nothing there.
Could I just interject just briefly, because I do have something that was submitted by your neighbor in writing, and I'll just read because I think it's important to understand what needs to happen moving forward with this. It says, and this is from you to Ms. Bulger, "I maintain the beach area in front of my cottage for the enjoyment of my guests. I have also previously paid a landscape company to clean and selectively trim back the beach grass. I have stopped clearing the beach grass except for directly in front of my cottage. As a result, the neighbors are gravitating towards this cleared out area." So, and then you say, "Feel free to clear the area out in front of Longo's house to expand the usable beach area there." Blah, blah, blah. So I think that regardless of whether or not you personally removed the beach grass, if your landscaping company has removed the beach grass, that's equally...
Yes, okay. So then I guess I'll restate then. I hired a landscape company once, and what they did was, after a really bad winter where there was just tons and tons of debris, much more than I could handle myself to remove from the beach, because typically what I used to do is I'd rake the beach of all the old straw and stuff that washes up on the beach. I would put it in a trash barrel, and then on an outgoing tide with the wind blowing up from like the southeast or whatever, I dump it in the water and it would flow it out the mouth of the river. Well, there was so much debris on the beach. One spring did I hire a company to come in to rake the entire beach to remove just all that straw. They didn't pull out the grass. That email, there's a lot of other dynamic going on with that email, with any intent behind that email. So I would ask the board to kind of ignore that, because there's a lot of other issues in play that are not associated with the facts of this situation.
Okay.
I brought a whole bunch of photographs. I'm sure you guys have all gone on to Google Earth or whatever and Google pictures of the area, but you can see this is my property right here. These are some paths from some of the abutters that they use to get down to the beach area. These are not really heavily traveled, but you can see it's worn down. You can see it's all sand, some of these other trails, but in particular, so this part of the beach is never used because these people are very rarely there. The previous owners were very rarely there. These folks here are never home. This part of the beach is never used. So there is growth of dune grass and beach grass. This house over here, directly in front of this house, There's no beach grass. There's a little bit of beach grass between these two properties because it's not used. This house, all use this part of the beach as access to the beach. They all use the beach in front of my house. If you look over here, this is George Charles. He has people parking here in his parking lot. They use the beach out in front of his parking lot. You can see there's no beach grass there. This access point off of Lake Point Road, same thing. It's heavily traveled. There's no beach grass. You can go back to as far as you can, and you'll never see any beach grass in front of my property. I've got pictures here.
Do you know what year this one is?
I just took that today. So, but I have pictures, a collection of pictures that date back to like 2012, although there's no dates on these, but you can probably tell I have a 4-year-old daughter. She's only 2 here out in front of the cottage. There's no grass on the beach. There never has been. So if we revegetate that, it's putting grass back to where there's never been any grass. So, I mean, and this is just a small sampling of the pictures because I have a vacation rental, which I've been renting that property since 2007. So I actually celebrated my 10th season this year. I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pictures that will support the fact that there's never been any grass in front of my cottage.
Do you know if there was any, like, say, prior to 2007?
Every single photograph I have, there's no grass.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was just...
Yeah, no, I'm just saying...
There was something happened somewhere. No.
I mean, I've got photographs going back to the 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s from the previous owners. No grass.
So
always
is the
sand.
Is the area in front of your house, your cottage, with the no grass, is that co-owned or is that owned by you? Or
no, it's co-owned. So it's co-owned. So this is kind of like the demarcation line. So George Charos owns from Point Road. So if you draw an imaginary line down to the water, George Charos owns this part of the beach. From this point to the edge, way over here, is co-owned by one of my neighbors.
Okay, so this roughly triangular piece.
Correct, exactly. Exactly, and that's exactly what it is. It's a triangular lot of 10,000 square feet that is co-owned between myself and one of the neighbors.
Now, you mentioned access. People use this to, to access the beach, and they then use this.
Yeah.
What does that involve?
Pardon me?
What does that use involve, other than getting from point A to point B?
Oh, well, they'll put their beach chairs out. They'll play games, you know.
Because to those folks, it's just part of the beach because it has no vegetation.
Yeah, it's just all, they just hang out there, they do like regular beach activities, playing games, digging holes.
Do they have a right of way or you just allow them to use it?
Just allow them to use it. Okay. Yeah, because I'm all about the happy enjoyment of sharing the beach. So technically, it is a private beach, but my understanding, it's always been used and enjoyed by the neighbors in this little kind of cul-de-sac type of location. So, and like I said, I think you can go back. I think there's a way. I was speaking with Mike Seacamp. You go on Google Earth. You can plug in different years to get satellite images as far back as you want to go. And you'll see the same result. So
would you like to say something?
No. I think you know what my position on it is. That was well presented. understand what he's saying on certain issues. I still don't think it's quite the full capture, but.
So one thing that occurs to me, access and use, two different things. People use that to access.
They do both.
The lower beach, if you will. And
depending on the tide, correct.
I mean, you could, you can see there's a pathway here from Point Road, is it?
Yes, correct, yeah.
Which is an access way.
Correct.
People evidently, looks like it's fairly heavily traveled.
Correct. So typically what happens, Doug, is, people come in, like from Northern Boulevard, the surrounding neighborhood, they'll come in, they'll bang a left.
Right.
And then they'll populate this portion of the beach. Obviously low tide, so the beach is quite expansive. At high tide, it's way up here. So at high tide, the people kind of get squashed in and they kind of look for some open space. And it happens to be out in front of my cottage.
But if it's just access, I mean, you could easily have a pathway here without necessarily having this all be unvegetated, right? If to satisfy the access issue, you say these folks
yeah,
come down this
right
way.
Yeah. So people use it as an access to get to the beach. So access, this is the access point. But once they're on the beach, they just kind of fan out, and then they use the beach. So the use of the beach, like over here, people are setting up their chairs, they're setting up their umbrellas, they're setting up their little tents or whatever, and so that gets used. My folks, when I'm there, I use that beach. All my guests at my house in the summer, week to week, they all use that beach. So it's use, like any normal beach. Plus it's combined with additional access, so it's even more traffic. So you got the use of it, and you've got the traffic of people walking through it. So that's only my explanation for why there's no beach grass there. I know that if you look at it in a almost common sense way, nobody uses this park. These people access it through here. They don't go out here. Very rarely there's any use whatsoever. Since I've been there since 2003, there's been like no use of this beach whatsoever. Occasionally down below this the water line here, but it's just, two people living here. These people are never here. So that's kind of all I can say in regards to that situation. But I have, again, hundreds of pictures. I think every satellite photo that you could ever look at will support the fact that there's never been any beach grass there. And I don't think there's any reason to possibly revegetate it, because it's used and it's enjoyed, and I don't think it's harming anything, because it's in its current use since, for a very long time.
Nick, the other week when Joe had his computer out, was he seeing prior years that showed it vegetated?
I don't remember.
No, I can't.
So I went back just on my computer before I came here, and I think I went back as far as 2012. This is 2012. Right here, directly in front of my house, where that seagull is, or my picture of my theater, I guess. This is a picture of my daughter, who's now 4, so that would have been 2014, in front of my house.
Yeah, I think
there's no grass.
Just from my opinion, the point is that there should be no intentional removal of beach grass anywhere on Plum Island, okay? On the beach or not on the beach, in someone's backyard or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be intentionally removed unless it's part of a landscaping plan that's approved by the
sure.
Conservation Commission. And then there's mitigation for that with plantings elsewhere. So in this case, there's a dispute between you and your neighbor over whether or not you did intentionally remove it. Your landscapers removed it apparently at one point, maybe, maybe not. Regardless, it shouldn't be happening anymore. So I think you just need to be aware that there can be no by hand or machine removal of beech grass or other native vegetation that comes up in that location, even if it's being used by guests. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know if the commission wants to...
Well, it's in your best interest to have the beech grass there, yeah, because with rising sea level, that will help protect your cottage.
Sure. No, I completely understand it. I recognize the benefit of dune grass and beech grass. We've been very fortunate because since I've been there, I don't know, there's this little seawall type thing. When I first moved in there, it was about, I'd say, 3.5-4 feet of a step down to the beach. But now it's basically all the way up to the top.
Yeah, that area has been accreting sand. It's been accumulating out in front of Charles' property and further around.
Exactly. So what happens is, you know, with all the nor'easters that wreak havoc on the front side of the island, every nor'easter, it churns sand up the river and dumps it out in front of that beachhead. And again, like you said, Julia, George Charles is dealing with that every single year. Mm-hmm. He dredges out in front of his place. It's been very fortunate that the sand's building up. But I do recognize the value of that, and I recognize the fact that, you know, you're not supposed to do pulled grass and things like that. And so I can assure you that's a process that did not occur. And obviously, based on this meeting, it's a process that would never occur.
So, I don't know, maybe if you and your co-owner could maybe replant some of it, maybe narrow the area that your guests use, so that the beach grass could grow.
I mean, I'm not quite sure. I mean, is there a concern of the erosion or something? I mean, I'm not...
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
And protecting your own property.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not quite sure how to approach that or how to handle that because there's no grass there before. I realize the value if there is grass there, but
here's a hypothetical. This is tricky, clearly, because you have a shared ownership of the property with someone who would like there to be beach grass there and would like to plant beach grass there. So. If that were to happen, if she were to go out and plant some beach grass in front of the cottage, would you be okay with that?
Oh, well, to be perfectly honest with you, I wouldn't be thrilled with it. But if somehow she got the proper approvals to do something like that, I wouldn't go out there and start plucking it out. I'd say... I wouldn't understand why it would be so important for an abutter who lives behind me to be so concerned with the small section of beach that we co-own directly in front of my house that would have to be revegetated. There's plenty of other places. There's plenty of other places on the beach. If she wants to revegetate, she could. But, like I said, it would be very unusual and concerning, but, I mean, if for some reason she got the approval to do that, then obviously I wouldn't have, I don't know what recourse I would have. I mean, I wouldn't go out and start pulling it, but...
I'm just trying to ward off another situation where you all are before us with some question like this. I mean, I don't really want to see this come back up. So I guess I'm encouraging the two of you to come to some sort of an understanding with each other regarding how you want to jointly manage this property that you own. Mm-hmm. It is a wetland resource area. It is within our jurisdiction. It does matter what happens
on
that property. Yeah.
I had sent you a proposed plan for revegetation that I thought was more than equitable.
It looks fine, but it's not something that the commission has required. And it's not something that, again, I mean, I think that this is what I'm encouraging you to do. If you two own this property together, and I'm not a lawyer or a, real estate agent, mm-hmm. but it just makes sense that you come to an agreement with each other on how you want to manage that property so that you don't end up back before us with some kind of dispute.
Right.
That's all I'm suggesting.
I think it is one that should be worked out because, I can certainly understand why you might not want to have it all revegetated, because if it's a rental and you might want it, people can use that empty sand like for volleyball or whatever beach people do.
I mean, and even for my own personal family's enjoyment, I mean, it's always been a sandy beach. It's like Sandy Point. It's always been a sandy beach.
And reach a compromise.
Yeah, so.
And the compromise can't include, obviously, pulling out beach grass, but if it's, I don't think that the commission's at a point of requesting you to plant either, so I would just suggest that you...
No, and we've given verbal permission to plant some
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you two can come to an agreement on how much and where, I think we're good with that.
So, what would be the process? Because that may be a difficult...
Well, I think part of the process would be you thinking about what reasonable beach use in front of your cottage might mean.
Which is the cat's
eye. If you're saying every bit of it that doesn't have vegetation is going to stay that way, then we're going to get nowhere, or you're going to get nowhere in terms of a compromise. But if there's some sort of a middle ground, say, if we had this that was left sandy and not revegetated, and maybe do some revegetation on the edges, that might be a solution. It's a compromise.
Right. I mean, it's not a really wide area, actually.
No, I can see that.
Yeah. So, we're talking maybe, I don't know, how wide it is. I have no idea. But
it's your property. It's not...
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. So, it's just, we're not, it's not like this huge expansive beach, I'd say let's volunteer our efforts to revegetate George Charo's beachfront, because has no grass. We're going to have to try to figure out some way to come up with a plan. But
I also think that this, because your little patch of sand is surrounded on both sides by beach grass, that over time, naturally, that beach grass is going to want to fill in those bare areas if it's healthy. And you say that it's getting used all the time, but that's, I guess, what I'm...
If there's if there's a natural progression of that for those, like what Doug also was saying, along the edges,
right,
for it to grow in, then that's great. I'm not going to be pulling and picking, and because there are portions. So that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's really needs the manual effort to revegetate, because
right.
over time, through its natural progression, it will fill into those areas that are not being used.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. If we can't sort of control the use of a beach and the loss of beach grass in an area that's just being used. And so I think what is within our jurisdiction is not allowing a violation to be taking place, which is someone physically removing it on purpose. And in this case, if that's not happening, all right, if there's no more removal of any of the vegetation, then whatever comes back in naturally and doesn't get trampled by a natural use of visitors to the beach,
mm-hmm.
I don't see that there's a whole lot we can do about that.
Right.
Yeah, but on the other hand, we can and do in other areas, attempt to steer use in such a way that it doesn't destroy a vegetated dune, let's say. Mm-hmm. Take the reservation terrace issue.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't go down there in the middle of the night. We're not dune cops or beach cops either. But on the other hand, you know, people can be directed to do things and go in certain directions and not in other directions.
Yeah, I mean, but it's, I understand what you're saying, Doug, but it's just kind of like, I guess everything out there is a dune. I'm not quite sure how it's categorized, but it's a flat piece of beach that goes up to this bulkhead. And it's not like there's a protection of a dune, like maybe out in reservation terrace or on the front side of the beach next to those homes with the erosion, where you certainly want to protect some of those areas. But it's a difficult situation.
No, but there are people that don't want to be told down there either that they can't go in certain parts of the dune, or they should go down this path rather than over there. You know, there's a certain number of people just don't like that.
I mean, personally, to be perfectly honest, I mean, this is just, I don't consider, I mean, it might maybe a dune and that sort of thing, and I'm all for, you know, using paths and things like that, you know, going into the refuge and other places, but this is just, like, where we sit out in front of the cottage, and it's just what we use, so that's why I'm saying it's, I wish there was something, you know, that would make everybody happy. Mm-hmm. But
I don't think it's ours to
The thing at Reservation Terrace is different because it's DCR owned property. It's
right.
Their project that
to
do that work in order to protect the dunes and the Reservation Terrace. In this case, it's a little, you can't really compare, I guess.
Right. I guess what we're saying is don't pull up any more grass and try and come to a compromise with your co-owner on reconvincing.
Okay. Alright, thank you.
And we'll see you back sometime in the near future.
Yeah, so I'll get together with Julia on the other issue to
I think it's important that the commission provide a time frame within which you want to see this notice of intent. Because there is a violation notice
right.
Still out there.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it by our first meeting in November.
Is that 2 weeks?
No, it's a month.
That might be a little early.
It's November 1st. Today is, what, the 4th?
Yeah. Well, maybe a communication.
But
that
would be due.
These
are
process started. I mean, the application, you have to start that application process, and if you're hiring a consultant,
yeah,
do that.
That'll be.
Yeah, sooner than later.
Because the deadline is 2 weeks prior to a meeting as well.
And there's an abutter notification, you know, piece to it. Mm-hmm.
I would say.
So we'll be notified of this new notice of intent?
Yes.
Either the second week, the second meeting in November or the first in December. I think it's a more reasonable time frame.
Okay.
You know, because I know the way things go.
So, Paul, you're recommending when?
Either the second meeting in November or the first meeting
okay.
in December. That's what I would think.
I mean, I can get back to you, Julia, and let you know what CCAMP says, because I don't know what their project load might be as far as when they can, you know, work on this. So, I mean, I'll get it done as quickly as possible. I'll be in touch with those guys tomorrow.
Okay. Actually, his brother told us that that Mike is trying to retire.
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of other consultants
other.
Who work out on the island that if Mike or his brother are too busy and can't get something in by the first meeting in December, someone else can.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't expect,
okay.
I mean, he's already given me a proposal
okay.
Very quickly, within
okay.
a week's time, so
okay.
I figure
good.
It should be probably fairly quickly.
Perfect.
Yeah, it shouldn't really take a long time, but I just think the first meeting in November is a little
pushing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want to do that, it's fine.
Yeah. Well, I'm anticipating a long, drawn out process as especially with butter approvals and stuff like that, so.
Well, I mean, decks are not all that uncommon, as you know.
Yeah, I've got a documentation of a longstanding feud between families that dates back to the 30s and 40s with the property that I'm in, with the same abutters. So it's it'll be a...
Apart from the conservation aspect of it, you own 100% of the area where the deck is?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you.
Hey, good day. Anything else on the agenda or?
I don't have anything else on the agenda.
Okay. Yeah, do we need a vote on anything now?
I don't think so.
It was.
Well, I mean, the violation notice just gets.
Yeah, the status goes in, right?
Right, with the direction for him to bring a notice of intent in by the first meeting in December, I put down.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, as long as that's in the minutes.
Right. That's absolutely doable.
Yeah. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the irony of this is it doesn't look like that. Difficult a project to approve.
Well, it depends what the elevation above ground is.
I think the elevation is not.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's in the B zone. And the elevation that would be required to achieve puts it well above where it currently is.
Uh huh.
Might be above his house.
Like at least halfway up to the second floor.
It's not unusual to have a deck off the second floor.
It'd be a second floor deck. I'm not sure. This is up to him and his consultant to work out how this can be permitted given our current regulations. Mm-hmm. But then again, you look at, okay, we're allowing an after-the-fact notice of intent.
There was an existing deck.
So he says there was an existing deck.
But, well, there was, according to the RDA filed in 2007, there was an existing deck, and it's shown dimensionally where how big it was and the location and everything. So there was apparently.
But then it sounds as though it was somehow removed, and he wanted to replace it.
Well, I suspect that was done at the same time. It's probably removed and replaced.
Yeah, because it sounded like it was just in such disrepair. You had to get rid of it.
So if it were...
Well, he made it sound like it was gone and he wanted to bring it back. Because
of a deck.
Yes.
Not conforming.
Right.
But he was saying that there used to be a deck there.
Right.
And then he wanted to put one back because there had been one there.
Right.
Not that there was... He wanted to, just...
I'm not so sure if that was accurately portrayed.
Can you or Joe get some of these?
Joe told me that he found photos and there's no deck.
Okay. Yeah, but they're undated.
Right.
So.
Oh, they're undated. Okay. Because did you all get something from him today? Because I did not.
Yeah. I'm not sure I did.
I don't think I did.
It was a couple days ago.
It would be good if we can get some old aerial photos going back to at least 2007 that show whether there was a deck there or not.
I mean, as well as
vegetation.
I mean, they only went to 2012.
Yeah.
So suppose there was a non-conforming deck there in the past. How does that affect our...
I don't know, and I'm not exactly sure how you would look at existing conditions. Whether you want to look at today's existing conditions, including the floodplain, today, or what those existing conditions were back then.
I would think you'd look at the existing conditions would be what they were when he built that deck.
Right.
Like what was it, 2014?
Right. So what the flood zone was back then.
2012.
What the elevations were back then.
Whatever it was, yeah.
And what the regulations were back then.
Right.
Yeah. Well, no, we use the current regulations. That's his...
He's submitting an NOI now.
Yeah.
Right.
But the existing conditions would be
okay.
What they, if that previous deck had been removed prior to that, then It's not an existing condition.
Okay.
I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Would you?
I would.
How much would you entertain?
Did you bring any refreshments?
No, I didn't bring any refreshments.
What about a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Wasn't for that enforcement order, we could have been out of here at 7:30.
I know.
I have a question about some of these marinas. I didn't bring it up, but they either have to have a license or they should be getting a harbor master's permit. And I don't think anybody's getting harbor master permits. I mean, this is bigger than, you know, just this one site. I would say, if I had to guess, the whole city is probably...
I thought they were all getting harbor master permits.
You think so?
Oh, I thought it was either 91, chapter 91 or...
Well, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, apparently, but we don't get copies of those.
Right.
I mean, you might want to check with the harbor master, because, I mean, this should be... Or talk to others.
No, I think anything that's in the river, he's got, the harbor master has to issue, unless it has a chapter 91 license.
Exactly.
The harbor master has to issue a...
Yearly.
Yeah, annual, yes.
Yeah.
I believe he does that.
But if they have a chapter 91 license...
Then he doesn't.
They don't have to do that.
Then they don't, right.
I would guess if you checked with him, I bet people, once they get this thing in, they don't...
They don't renew it every year?
I...
It's his job. I'll check with him.
Because, I mean, that's pretty big, if you started that.
As far as this one goes, DeFilippo, I mean, he's saying they've got chapter 91 licenses, right?
They do.
But he didn't say, I asked him about the piles, because if those piles are holding the floats down, then you can't get a harbor master, you should be getting chapter 91.
Right, but the issue still is, can they fold this work into their existing 91 licenses, or do they have to do something with those licenses?
My guess is that the license covers this
work.
Existing work.
Yeah.
It's just these other floats that are everywhere that probably don't
get
harbor master.
Well, up at the Carr Island marina, where they have the houseboats, they don't have a chapter 91 license. They have this annual harbor master permit. And that's where this question is coming up, is Paul Hogg really giving out annual permits for these floating houses? And if so, is that appropriate? And, you know, what's involved in that? And can they expand? And, you know,
I don't know. I mean, there's got to be some ruling of some sort on that, but...
Houses versus boats, you mean?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, there are. That's evolving.
Yeah, that's evolving.
It's not quite there yet.
But again, I'm not directing this at anything in particular.
Actually, good if there's not a chapter 91 license in that case. If the city wants to make some sort of different decision about allowing them or not allowing them, if there's a chapter 91 license that allows them, then we're stuck with them. If there's just this annual harbor master permit that allows them on a year-by-year basis, I mean, they get taken out and put back in.
Can you get a chapter 91 license for something like tying your houseboat up at a slip?
Well, it would have to be something related to the use of those and the purpose of those docks.
Yeah, and navigation and everything else that has to do with chapter 91.
Right.
Again, I mean, we can get out of here, but I mean, I'm just saying that as a city, you know, I'm very curious to know if we're actually doing harbor master permits, and it's a big deal.
Well, if there's a fee involved, I guess we are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that you know, the harbor master castle down there needs all of the help it can get.
Yeah, I mean, you can see this. Could very
at least
well
somebody's
be a large
paying
number.
For something.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why they have
to meet down there in their meeting room. Where did they ditch the meeting room?
Question.
The second floor.
I think they just got rid of the cathedral ceiling.
I think I'm going to switch over to the Harbor Master Committee.
No, you're not allowed.
Harbor Committee or whatever it's called.